Yes, Marty.
Never done cocaine.
Let's see. Women, right. you never did cocaine in your life?
Not yet.
But why are you talking about
that?
Today's
a new day.
Today's a new day.
It's a crutch.
Listen, Mark Atfield.
Okay.
Welcome to No BS with SB.
It's great to be
you
here.
You know why I love you so much?
Because I'm English and tall?
No, because SC, you're amazing.
Oh,
you
thank
work
you.
So hard, mm-hmm. SC. Mm-hmm. Every time you do something big, is no matter you rebounds. You know, boing ST, you know, a football player, boing ST,
boing,
firefighter, fighter,
boing
ST, boing, comedian.
Boing, yeah.
So is it always something you got in your, you know, because you always find something to push yourself all the time, you know what I mean?
I like to stay busy, I like to stay motivated,
yeah,
keep doing things. I like to live up to the, eight-year-old Mark Atfield. You know what I mean? The little kid that wanted to become a firefighter, to become a comedian, become a football player, all those things. I seem to be trying to prove myself every day to that little boy.
I'm scared that the next goal is going to be astronaut.
Astronaut,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, I've been called a space cadet. Ba-dum, boom.
So Mark Atfield, amazing football player.
Oh, yeah.
You use that all the time. But after that, you have to pay your rent, so you became a firefighter.
Yeah,
fighter.
Yeah.
Always a difficulty.
I'm a firefighter. I've been fired as a father.
Because you stress me, buddy. You know why?
Can we tell them that this is the second time we started over?
But
the
you
show?
Just did this.
Okay, he's mad at me.
I'm not mad. See, you're not serious about
I'm
Mac.
So serious.
Really?
Yeah.
Show your beautiful hair.
I got a haircut on the way.
He said I have a cut hair for me.
I did it.
Thank you.
I went and got a haircut for Sebastian.
So okay, but let's
this
go.
Podcast.
Let's go there because like tonight,
mm-hmm.
you have your Friday Atfield show.
Mark Atfield's Friday night. Every night at 7. Yuck Yucks, 292 Elgin.
For the last 4 years.
This is the fourth season, yeah.
Okay, season. What do you mean season?
So it wasn't four complete years. It's four seasons. It started January, went 1 year.
So it's 4 year?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, you want to restart third time?
No, I don't want to restart.
Okay, listen.
I'm scared.
No, but why?
I don't want to upset you. You're one of my heroes, my friends. I love you.
No, but why, when you interview people,
mm-hmm.
you act differently
yeah,
now?
Yeah, true enough.
But why,
true
for real?
I just probably an insecurity. Probably I bring a lot of energy to the table because I'm hiding something. I want to win your love. Just like every time we get on stage, there's an insecurity inside us that perhaps we never addressed before, and we just want to make people like us and make people laugh. And I think that's what comedians are, and everybody who's sort of an extrovert and someone who tries to accomplish goals. It's a tool that you use. It keeps you going every single day. If you didn't care what people thought, then you would just sit at home and watch Netflix all day, which I know both of us also do as well. But you know, there's two sides to everybody, and the side that's achieved things in my life is that 8-year-old boy that wants to get out and be somebody.
Yeah, but you have a podcast, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you receive people,
mm-hmm.
you prepare your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know how it's tough to do a podcast.
Yeah.
So why at my podcast, see, you don't care? No, you don't.
I do care.
Because it's tough for me.
You work hard. Hardest working guy I've ever met.
Exactly. So yeah. Why you act like you don't care?
I do care.
No, because like you said, it's the second time we record.
I know.
Are you scared to open your...
Probably, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why you do that with other people?
There's different ways. Like you and I, you know, we can get on stage, no problem, and talk to a room full of people like... most human beings can't. Then it comes down to a one-on-one conversation is where I would suggest
yeah, but,
that perhaps both of us struggle, right?
Yeah, but you interview 100 people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's...
So I don't understand why you don't understand what I, you know...
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's figure that out. Let's do that.
No, but you know my point?
Yeah, I know your point for sure.
Because
and I am in a club, and I have a show after, and so I did...
I have a show there, too.
I know. You do a lot
I
more
drove,
shows, and you're...
I do two podcasts.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing two shows. I'm going to host after
mm-hmm,
your show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm burned, though.
Mm-hmm, I know.
Like
you're
you are. It's the stress. You know what I mean?
I
but
know.
I have time, because... Mm-hmm. Listen, I do this podcast because I want to show to the people how you're amazing,
mm-hmm.
okay? So if you don't give me the opportunity to know who you are, it's a waste of time.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're
because you're the first one who gave me the opportunity
yeah.
to do a podcast in English. Nobody invite me
mm-hmm.
ever.
Mm.
Never.
Mm-hmm.
You're the first.
Okay. I feel honored to be here.
And the first thing you said, remember?
Mm,
don't screw it up, this guy is funny.
Yeah.
And you bring me calm because I was so stressed. Because, like you said, it's not my first language, okay? And you invite me at your podcast in your home. You take a coffee, say everything's going to be great. And the first thing you said, you're funny. I said, all right, cool. And we talked like 1 hour and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
So this guy, the guy who interviewed me,
yeah.
Can he be there?
So I think you just brought something up interesting. I'm more comfortable being the one asking the question.
Yes, then right?
And so now that I know and I've come into your environment where you're going to ask me questions, obviously there's something that's blocking the way where I have to bring
this stupid,
ridiculous energy. And
but if you saw my podcast, my goal is not to destroy you, laugh about
you.
It's the reverse. It's to show how... Oh, you're amazing. How how many times you should quit? You never quit. You always, okay, let's go there. I'm happy. Because you said the kids, 8 years old. Do you have a brother, sister?
That's my story, yeah. I have a sister and a brother, yeah.
Okay, so are you in the middle of them?
I'm the youngest.
Exactly. So this is where you want so much attention?
Well, yeah, we can get into that for sure.
Because football, where football arrived in your life?
Football definitely arrived in my life because... I was trying to get attention from people because things were going on at home where I wasn't getting attention, and I thought maybe a couple things I can go out there and automatically have a bunch of friends, and also go out there and do something where people would give me some sort of attention, and awesome.
So, but is it because your brother played football?
No, my brother didn't play football. My brother was born with a heart condition, and he was unable to play sports, but he loved sports, and so that was also a thing for him and I to do together. Is we would go and play catch out in the field, and he'd always talk about me making it to the professional football, and that was our goal from a young age. So in 1985, my big brother Bill and I sat down and we watched the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Dan Marino.
1985. Is it the Chicago Bears?
No.
86.
Yeah, 86 Bears.
Okay.
So 85 was the Dolphins were playing.
Oh, the Dolphins.
Dan Marino.
We have my I love the Dolphin.
Yeah, and during that game we were marking at how Dan Marino only in his second season in the NFL can make it to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Right? And so my brother and I decided that someday I would be good enough to play in the NFL.
You made a bet with your...
Well, we made it a deal that we're gonna work so hard at this that young people they don't realize that there's limits, and so we just went ahead and did it. We just gave it all we had. And
did you say that front of the family or just your brother?
My brother and I. It was kind of like, hey, you know what? And even so far as that, he went and bought me a Dan Marino jersey a few months later.
Is it the jersey in your podcast
No,
room?
I've been looking for that jersey, but I can't find that jersey. I'm sure it's somewhere. But
And you know what? Let's go there right away. You play.
Well, hey, you're jumping.
I jump because we're going to go everywhere.
Okay, but let me just tell the story
exactly.
In the right order. Okay, okay. So
you made a bet for fun.
No, we make a deal.
You pitch that in the universe.
And so we go out and we practice all the time and stuff. And, the next season starts and things are going well because we've been practicing and, having a decent season. And the last game of that season, October 30th, 1985, heartbreaking loss. As a young person, it was the worst loss I'd ever had in football or in life, and I didn't know how to handle it. My head is spinning, and I go back to the change room, and as I'm sitting there in my spot, somebody from across the room yells, "Mark, your Uncle Chuck is here. He wants to talk to you outside." And I remember thinking, that's so weird. He never comes to any of my sports stuff, and I hadn't seen him in a while, so it's kind of weird. And I walk outside, and my uncle's standing there, and I walk over to him, and he takes me by the arm, and he says, "Mark, I'm sorry to tell you this, but your big brother Bill died today." So, on that day, October 30th, 1985, he passed away. He was born with a heart condition that, the doctors told him that any age...
Your game?
After the game, yeah, for sure.
You lost?
Lost the game.
Double lost.
Yeah, and then
so you cry a lot, huh?
Yeah, I was very upset as a young person. Yeah. It was the first...
Was your hero?
My brother, my best friend, for sure. We did everything together. And as a young person, you don't have the tools. I mean, as any age of person, you don't have the tools to deal with that kind of loss.
No.
But so the way I did it is, and this is what I go out and teach young people, is that you take a terrible situation and you flip it around and you make it a positive if you can, and you make it your motivator, your reason why you achieve things that you want to achieve. So I made a promise to my brother that the goal we had set of me make it to the NFL, that I would never give up on it.
Man, I have goosebumps, man. Because you know what? Thanks. One of my favorite movies when I'm depressed is Rudy. Rudy Rodriguez.
The underdog,
When his best friend gave him the Notre Dame jacket. I don't know if you saw the movie.
Yeah,
and he died in the explosion. And he said, "The only person who believe in me it was him, mm-hmm. and he died. So mm-hmm. he tried. Think about that. 5'6" play for Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, yeah.
So after that, you focus on that.
So the next 10 years, yeah, they're filled with me just never giving up and, you know, all kinds of failure. Staying the next year in high school, the next year university, broken bones, not making all-star teams, not winning championships, but just never giving up, refocusing, you know, believing in myself. And obviously there's lots of days where, you know, people told me I couldn't do it or couldn't do anything, and, you know, having to deal with it myself and look at the man in the mirror and say, you know, I'm the only one who can believe in myself and point myself in that direction. And October 30th, 1995, 10 years to the day of my big brother Bill dying, 10 years to the day of me making that promise, I signed a contract with the Miami Dolphins, and the guy who welcomed me to the team, who told me I made it, was Dan Marino. Walks in the room.
Incroyable.
Yeah, there you go. Never give up on your dreams.
Do you still realize that?
It's been, well, 95, right? That's been 25 years.
I know, but you know, you repeat that often because you do conference, but you sit pinch yourself.
Yeah, for sure. And because a lot of strange things have happened surrounding that. And I mean, there's a couple lessons to be learned there, right? 10 years is a long time. And so just the fact that it happened the exact same day, you know, there's some weird stuff there that we can talk about. But it's also 10 years, right? 10 years of failure, of people telling me I couldn't do it. And if you want something bad enough, if there's an obstacle you want to overcome or something you want to achieve, then it's going to take time. It's not going to take 1 day, 2 days. It might, but it probably won't. And you just never give up and keep moving in that direction. And then, you know, good things are going to happen. For
Do you have the same attitude with comedy? Did you give you the 10 years?
Comedy, yeah. I mean, I love public speaking. I've always have. I started out as a motivational speaker 12 years ago, and that's just, I fell in love with it from the first speech. And then I did that, and I mean, my speeches got funnier, and I really enjoyed talking to the crowd and that kind of back and forth. And then comedy started, and so I mean, you say 10 years, but I give myself the rest of my life because I don't.
No, I know,
see
but
stopping this
10 years to be comfortable. Because I saw you progress, I saw your mm-hmm. first show, and mm-hmm. I and now, mm-hmm. so let's go there because it's fun. Like you know the number, eh? Mm-hmm. You know the dates, you know the years.
Yeah.
So remember the first show you did in comedy? The year
it was October. It was strangely enough, October, and it was also like I don't know, probably 2014. Around there. Six years. Yeah, I have to look it up.
So you know you're comfortable on stage to talk about conference, about your experience mm-hmm. in life.
Yeah.
But it's not the same thing. No.
Mm-hmm.
To be funny, you're comfortable, okay? Mm-hmm. You're a beautiful guy. You mm-hmm. you're impressed when you're on stage. You have, mm-hmm. you're charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
But who convinced you to go on stage and try to be funny? Are you funny in general in life?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I always... being a tall, skinny kid growing up, you know, you're kind of funny looking, and you're always trying to make jokes about things, and I think that's probably where it comes from all comedians, right? Is their sense of humor is to overcome something, and that's, you know, I used to be the same height, 6'6" and 170 pounds, so that's, you know, 60 pounds lighter than I am now, so I looked funny, and that's just how you grow, and that's the way it was, but you know, that's still high school, right? And so, or even before that, middle school. And you try to, you know, when someone's making fun of you, instead of just letting it happen, you kind of try and throw a joke in. And so that's how it develops. And yeah, that's always been the case. And when I started my motivational speaking, I realized that, you know, you can talk for a long time about serious topics, but then you got to make them laugh to get them to truly like you.
Yeah.
And so it became more laughter and easier. And then I have a 15-minute version of my story that I did one night at a motivational night. There's someone in the crowd who said, "Have you ever done comedy?" And I'm like,
"Who said that? Remember this guy?"
Yeah, Ari Black. He's a
shout out.
Yeah, Ari Black, and it was Michael Lifshitz's event he put on.
Oh, we just win the contest.
Yeah, yeah.
What is the name of the contest?
Mike McDonald Summer Comedy Contest.
Yeah, he won this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
2019.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so yeah, he said, "Have you ever done comedy?" And I'm like, "No." And he said, "Well, you just did." Right, because my 15-minute version obviously is full of punchlines and, you know, jokes as well. So from that moment on, he said, "Well," he said, and this is probably like in the middle of the summer, and he said, "In October, I've got an open mic, or not an open mic, but a show I'm putting on." He goes, "Would you like to do a spot?" And I'm like, "Yeah." So I went home and got out all my books and the jokes I've been writing for 20 years and put them all together and went and did it. And a bunch of guys from Ottawa here were there. Wafik, who's on the show tonight, was there. And
so where's the first show?
It was in Barrhaven at a. I don't even remember the
name. In Ottawa. Green,
yeah, yeah, no, yeah.
So Michel was the host or just the booker?
The host was Ari Black, yeah.
Okay, so how was the day when you wake up? How did you feel?
I went to work in that morning and had the night off. I was worked in the morning and I spent the whole day lying in there visualizing, preparing like I would for a football game, right?
Yes.
Just seeing myself being successful, going up on stage, going through the jokes and stuff. And there's a lot of stuff you can't predict. I remember when I was on stage, it was going well. It went really well.
Oh, don't you too fast. Okay. So you go there. Mm-hmm. So how many comics is there, remember?
Yeah, there's about 8 of us there, okay. A bunch of local guys. Michael Friedman was there, Nick Perron. There was that that old guy. Oh, no, so you're not from Ottawa. He was passed away recently. He was there. He really impressed me. He was like, I don't know, in his 70s, and he got up there and made everyone laugh. And
so where are you in the lineup?
I was second.
So you remember second.
Mm-hmm.
So when he say your name,
yeah.
And you go,
yeah.
Did you feel it was like you in the at the football game and
100%.
You across the tunnel?
100%. You know what I mean? It's the same as running out of the tunnel. Yeah.
And I think you realize that, mm-hmm. because for you, it's all your life football, okay, and it's mm-hmm. a part of your brother, okay. And after to lose that, not playing football anymore, mm-hmm. it's a big down.
Yeah, yeah.
And now to realize that, oh my God, I can mm-hmm. I can feel the same.
Yeah.
Because nobody's gonna kick your ass.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if you bomb, it's mm-hmm. another. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you. If mm-hmm. you say your name, you arrive on stage, you remember the feeling inside?
Oh, yeah. It's game day, for sure. Today's game day as
yes,
well, right?
Yes,
yeah, 100%.
Yes.
There's a lot of comparisons between pro football and you know, entertainment
yes.
in general, right? There's preparation, there's working on
practice.
Things, practice.
I always do the metaphor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Football, they practice harder than the game,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Make the game easy, yeah.
They make the
it's
game
the same
easy.
Here. You want to be on stage just to be fun. You want it to be
yes.
like you're hanging out with your friends, right?
Yes.
And that's the same thing, and it's not going to happen unless you practice and get ready. And all that stuff that seems spontaneous has to be practiced and rehearsed, and that's just what makes you better. And it's the same as football. If you don't practice, you're not going to make the team. You're not going to be would play well in a game.
Yes. But at the same time, the problem is football, you don't have choice to push yourself because you are in the competition. In comedy, it's more tough because you're alone all the time. If
yeah.
nobody push you,
mm-hmm.
if you stay home, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, but you have the work ethic mm-hmm. already.
Yeah.
So this is why you're still in comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So you took the mic.
Mm-hmm. Took the mic,
Did you choke or because you have an experience of... But it's not the same thing, though, because now mm-hmm. people have an attempt. They like, you have to make... people laugh
right away. Yeah.
It's not just a conference about your mm-hmm. life. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the same thing for me. When I do my motivational speaking, I want to get up there and get a laugh as fast as possible.
Yeah, but it's not the same stress.
It's not the same stress at all. No,
okay.
It's not. I mean, the stress there more. You have to capture their attention and keep it for an hour without punchlines,
yes.
which is it's just a challenge as well.
Yes,
right?
No, you're right.
So
because
you have
sometimes
to be compelling. You have to reach into their lives, make them realize that they have a similar thing, and then show them the path that you took to get overcome whatever they also have in their life too. So it's check-ins. It's the same stuff that I do in comedy, right? You can't just keep telling your story. You have to check in with the audience. Like, have you done this too? You know, that sort of stuff, and get to know the people kind of around you,
yeah.
and incorporate them and make them feel like they're part of the show.
Yes.
So that all that stuff, and I'd been studying it just like I did football. Like when I wanted to be better at football, I watched the guys who were already there playing football. So when I wanted to do some motivational speaking, I went and saw like who are these speakers and what are their ticks, their techniques and tips for like getting better. And so I learned everything I possibly could about motivational speaking, and I'd been doing that for already 6 years at this point. So I felt very confident getting up on
yes.
stage, speaking
yes.
to the microphone. But like you say, you need to get to those punchlines. Once you get the first laugh and you realize, yeah, this is going to work here too, you get more comfortable. And I had an old iPhone in my pocket. I'd been listening to the Joe Rogan podcast, and for some reason my phone would go off every once in a while, and here I am on stage and things are going well, and the podcast started going off. So I remember thinking, oh, Joe Rogan's in my pocket. And I put the microphone to it and people laughed. So then I realized I could do anything.
Wow.
I could go off script. And it kind of went from there. Yeah.
So you were in the moment present.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And you used that. You, mm-hmm. So right away.
Yeah. I realized a lot of people could hear what was happening. And for me to just ignore it would be foolish. So I mentioned it and kind of made a little joke about
it. And you know what? People thought it was stages.
Yeah, they
because it was so spontaneous.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So when you get out, you knew already you kill.
I thought I did well, for sure. And then, you know, you turn to the other comedians and see what their reaction is. A lot of people in the comedy community will kind of avoid that situation because either they're jealous because things didn't...
Yeah, because you have everything right away.
Right. And I think... you know, in football, like you say, the metaphor of football, you're going against an opponent. The opponent is the person across from you. But really, and this sounds corny, but it's the truth, the opponent is within, right? It's yourself. If you're not willing to go out and prepare for this, then you actually lose to yourself.
Yes.
And in comedy, it's even more so. The guy that's up on before you or after, he's not your competition. The competition's right here. Yes. Who's this guy right here?
Yes.
And what's he going to do? And you know, so we need to get rid of all that.
And it's funny what you said that because people are jealous about what you do, but they will not work harder.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
To realize that they are less good than you.
Yeah.
And it's why jealousy exists, you know? Mm-hmm. So so after the show, did you say, I did it, it's done? Or you said, no, this is for me?
Oh, that's the beginning, yeah.
So when is the next show after?
The next show, is I was just trying to figure out, and, you know, after the show, all the comedians, they tell you how to get into the, you know, the open mics and all that stuff. So I went online. And I signed up for a Tuesday here, which isn't an open mic. It's a launching pad, so it's for people who are more established. And I didn't know that. I just thought it was an open mic. But it was a couple months later. It was January. So I waited, you know, November, December, January. Because I didn't...
Nothing. You did nothing.
I didn't know how else to get spots. I went on the computer, and I'm like, okay, I'm signing up for this. And then I heard back for that. And then a couple weeks later, I did another Wednesday. And then that's when I met Howard here and you know, just never stopped.
The rest is the story.
The rest of my friends is on the
Okay,
wall.
But how was the Tuesday show?
It was pretty good. I went up and felt like I was, you know, Richard Pryor and...
Really?
Well, you know, what I mean by that is I felt like I was in my head. I'm like, oh, I can do anything now. I went up and I swore and I did all kinds of stuff that I haven't done since. And then, you know, people were kind of laughing, but still...
The second show, though, did you bomb? What Howard said to you?
Howard wasn't here for that one, but the next one... Oh, the next one, I'll tell you the story. Yeah, okay, that was good. I like that story. So we'll skip past the two. The Tuesday one, I went in and just thought, like, oh, you're on stage at a comedy club. Freedom of speech. I can say anything I want. And I just went off the charts. I probably had too much to drink, and I had a good time. So, you know, you have to find your pluses, your positives and everything. I just took from that, you know, it is good to have a good time, but you don't need to swear. You don't need to, like... go. I mean, I was just more in standing in the crowd, eating people's food, whatever. Just kind of just going off, but whatever. So the third
everybody
one,
starts somewhere, and you know the level now.
Yeah.
Where you can go and not for yourself,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's swearing is part of it, but you have to do it properly.
But now you swear on tabarnak.
Oh, I swear if I want to, yeah.
No, but you know, but it's not free.
It's not free.
I know. I don't know if this doesn't work. It's not... every swear you use now are funny.
Oh, I try.
It's not vulgar.
Yeah.
And you're so aggressive in a good sense that it's funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you work. And we're going to go back. And we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
The evolution of Mark Hatfield.
Yeah.
Oof, eh? Uh-huh.
I don't know if you know that. I can't wait to hear it, but I don't
know. No, I don't know. You know you evaluate.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you the Mark Hatfield the first year.
I can't wait.
And now, you scare me, man.
Yeah.
You in a good sense, by the way.
Okay.
So let's go with the story. Third story? With Howard?
Yeah. Third story. I love this story because Mike McDonald is part of it. I remember getting to the club. And it's a Wednesday night, and you know the excitement, you know, especially from newer comics, there's an excitement, I'm about to go on stage. And the place, there's a lot of people here that night. And I remember walking to the back, to the green room, and I walked by a familiar face. I didn't know Mike at the time, or I'd never seen him, but I saw this face, and to me it was like, oh, any comedy club you go to, there's going to be famous comedians or whatever. And I walk in, and my head goes, that's Mike McDonald out there. And I look at the list, and I'm after Mike McDonald. So I'm basically like my first open mic is following Mike McDonald, right? Yes. The legend.
The only job you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible to play with Sidney Crosby when never skate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's weird,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah. So Greg Houston was hosting that night, and he had this shirt on, and it was it just said "Kiss Me" or something on it, whatever. And he hadn't addressed it when I was watching on stage. And so he comes up to me and he goes, listen, you're following Mike McDonald? Or you're following Mike McDonald. Do you want me to do a bit of time? just to make it a little bit easier. And I thought, no, just bring me right up. It'll be easier if you bring me right up, whatever. So Mike goes up, and then I go up, and I see Greg, and I look at his shirt, and I just lay into him. I give him a kiss, like a big, long kiss. And before I say a word, the whole place is dying. And then we stop, and they're still clapping. And I went in for a second kiss and basically made out with Greg Houston for the first 45 seconds of my first open mic night. And then everything, as you know, once you've got the audience, once they laugh at you, once they like you, everything else you do just goes really well. So then you try your corny, you know, new person jokes, which I still use today, by the way. And people laugh and they love it. And I get off stage and Mike comes over and he was like, that was great, man. You know, like a lot of comics would have kind of pretended to do it but not go for it. He says, you went for it and you did it and it was great. And so, you know, that had a really good feeling when Mike McDonald comes in and says a nice positive thing about you. And then he's like,
Cindy Crosby said, great pass.
Yeah, nice pass. You're great. What? Yeah, you're like, well, I can do this. Yeah, you know what I mean? So you get that confidence and then you just keep trying, man. I remember signing up for every comedy night anywhere in the city at a dessert place.
You know. But the third show, Mike McDonald show, Howard was there, Howard Wagman?
I think so, yeah. And I met him, and I didn't really know how the whole infrastructure worked and the dynamic here.
I want to know the first time he tell you advice, you know, because Howard, you will never, you know, like the expression, shoes your boots,
no?
Shoes your boots, like bullshit you, though. No BS, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's going to tell you the truth. No matter how you're going to, you think who you are. Do you remember the first time?
Yeah, I remember that for sure. And I remember coming back maybe the next time and I introduced myself to him and he was like, oh, I know who you are. And I was like, oh, wow, because maybe the first time I walked right past them, you don't know who. Everyone's new to you, right?
Yes.
So you kind of walk past someone who's...
So many things to learn at the same time,
unbelievable,
you know?
yeah. So you don't know who... Like, I mean, the host of the show is, like, the biggest guy that you know, right? Like, at the time, because he's the one with the microphone and brings you up on stage. So then you realize, you know, oh, that's Howard, who's been here in comedy. Seven most important person in Canadian comedy. It's on his business card. And once you realize that he's saying things are going well and he gives you like a headlining spot at the open mic, you start to feel good and then you do that and then you realize you're just the last comic to go up. It's not really that important. And then, you know, I remember my first hosting too, which obviously I do a lot of now, and I never hosted and I was probably only done like five or six sets at a comedy club, and we were waiting for a guy to show up to host and I was first and I was standing over here and the music was playing for the host to go up and Howard comes over and goes, can you host? And I'm like, yep. So I went up and I just...
Opportunity.
Right there, you got to be ready.
This is very important. Mm-hmm. Opportunity. No matter if you're ready or not, you take it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if you think too much, you will choke.
Mm-hmm.
If he told you that 30 minutes before, maybe you will say, your brain is always negative, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you jump.
Yeah.
And the rest is a story because now you are the king of the host.
The king of the host.
Yeah, that's what I call
myself.
Hey, man. You call yourself?
No.
No, man, remember, if a word will describe who you are,
mm-hmm.
do you know what he will tell you?
He's
never give you some tip or like some
he's
good
the
stuff?
Guy every guy wants to be and the guy everyone's girlfriend wants to be with. No. That's what Nick Burden said, Howard said of me one time on stage, that's all.
So did you know at that time you are at the good place?
Yuck Yucks?
Yeah.
I definitely heard of Yuck Yucks. And I mean, I'd been here, it'd been years since I've been here. I've never been at this physical club. I've been at Yuck Yucks when it was in a different location. But I mean, you hear about Yuck Yucks no matter what walk of life you're in, for sure.
So do you place at the Absolute?
I have, but I haven't in years.
Okay.
But I did, yeah, for sure. I used to have a show on the Comedy Network, too. When I first retired from football, I started making videos of just me. And actually, when I retired, I went to a retirement home and tried to check in. And I used to do a show on TSN called Off the Record, and they would play them. I did one where it was me hitchhiking to the show, and then they said, oh, that was great. Can you make another? And I did the retirement one. I did a few, and then somebody saw that and asked me to be on a show on the Comedy Network for two seasons called Game Face.
Okay.
First season, I was on about seven of them. And they loved it. The critics loved that. I did the retired CFL guy. You can look that up.
YouTube.
And
yeah, we have a beautiful YouTube channel with a beautiful Mark Hatfield trip.
The Hatfield trip.
The Hatfield trip.
Yeah, the podcast and vlog. Yes. Yeah, for sure.
You hustle all the time. Nobody told you. And I remember when you started the podcast, it was like 4 years ago.
Yeah, three years ago, I think.
And the complexity at the time mm-hmm. to do a podcast, huh?
Yeah, a lot going on.
It's not easy, the because you do at your home. You have to invite guests. Mm-hmm. You have to tap the mic, you know, to remember
to sync the video and audio. Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So, what is the after you did like 5, 6, 7 time on stage? Mm-hmm. Why you decide to continue? What is the motivation to continue to do that? Did you have an ultimate goal just for fun?
Ultimate goal. It's really hard in football when you have a goal. It's to make the team. Okay. In comedy, it was kind of why I started the podcast is to find out what people in this industry's goals are to see. I mean, you can say
how they work.
I want to make a festival. I want to make Just for Laughs. Yes. I want to be able to do this full time. And there's all sorts of different goals, and you kind of have to figure it out, like you say, what you exactly want to do. I have a great full time job. I'm a professional firefighter in the city of Ottawa. So
it would be weird if you didn't see professional before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm an amateur firefighter.
I'm just a firefighter.
Yeah, I just drive around looking
when I start for a fire, I take my bucket.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a professional, but soon.
You gotta have goals and dreams, kids.
Yeah, yeah. And you have always a sexy job, huh?
Mm-hmm. You gotta be sexy.
Yeah. Football, it's sexy.
Yeah.
Did you do a calendar?
Yeah, I was Mr. July.
Can I? No!
1974.
No! I never knew that. I said, really? No calendar?
No.
You should do a calendar about
just
that.
Just me, yeah. The men of Yuck
Yucks. No, without the team.
The two of us.
No, mate. All...
Hot seller. Yeah, we're in the cellar, actually.
Oh, my God. Do you talk about that? No?
No, I don't. I don't want to mess that job up.
Okay, it's serious.
Yeah.
But you talk about that on your show.
On
about your job, you're a football player.
Yeah.
Do you talk about fire?
Not so much. No. But some nights we have a lot of firefighters down here, and if it's one of those nights, I'll talk about some things and just some references to their lives. And the more you know about the people that are listening to you, the easier it's going to be. So when you can reference obviously I don't have to tell you this, but reference their life. And when a bunch of guys come in here that I know what they do for a living, I know what silly little things happen in their life, and I can mention that on stage and makes it a lot easier for everybody, right? So yeah, I'll talk about firefighting when there's firefighters here, but. Not over the top. I don't want to make a joke of a serious profession for sure. You know, I don't need anyone ruining that part of my life.
No.
I can ruin every other part of my life.
So now, with the experience, 6 years in the world of comedy, mm-hmm. the perception you got when you start, when you mm-hmm. went, and now, where are you with that? Because it's not easy. Eh?
It's not easy, and I would say my confidence is very high. I don't have any problem with that. It's more like figuring out the lifestyle that a successful comedian has and whether or not that's something that I want. You understand? To be a successful comedian, you have to be in a new city every 2 weeks or every week.
No,
you're an exception. I mean,
the goal is to be on stage every night.
Yeah.
No matter where you are.
Mm-hmm. I think, and you know this too from your experiences with podcasting and vlogging, is you've got to kind of find your own way to do things.
Exactly.
Right? And that's sort of what I'm trying to do. I don't want to be necessarily, in a motel going city to city.
Exactly.
I have a residency.
I will die, me too.
Yeah,
exactly.
So you got to find your own.
I did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you
did. Did you travel a little bit?
No. Okay. And
And you have a day job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a day job.
I can. Kill the fire. I'm in Mississauga.
Yeah, the fire is gonna live for another day.
You know what I mean? Anyway, the house is gonna burn.
Yeah, it's gonna burn anyway.
Anyway,
and I didn't start the fire, so figure that one out.
Okay, so you realize that. So did you realize that you have to move? You have to go everywhere if you want to succeed.
That's what a lot of people do, and that's not what I want to do. I prefer to be sort of local and obviously get bigger and bigger audiences and bigger and bigger paydays and that sort of thing and move in that direction as well.
Because now you don't need to move to New York or LA to succeed.
Yeah.
Because if you're funny somewhere, they're going to find you. Mm-hmm. You know? And you do so many stuff, with the social media.
Mm-hmm.
But who told you that? If you want to succeed, you have to go somewhere else.
That's part of the podcast thing. I bring in people who I either have interesting stories or are successful, or a combination of those two, and then find out what they do. And you find, what you find is a lot of people have got to a position which others look at and say is successful, and they don't really know what they're doing. They haven't really had a goal. They've kind of stumbled upon it. And
the comedy club to comedy club.
And I mean, there's things like you say, social media presence. You need to have that nowadays. Otherwise, I mean, you can be a successful comedian without it, but you're not going to take the next step. You're always going to be going from town to town.
Exactly.
Yep, someone on the phone. Yeah. It's. I mean, you got to learn and see what's working in a lot of different ways, and then, you know, find the thing that you're also comfortable doing too, right? Like you and I both like to make videos and this sort of thing, so that helps. That's fun. It's got to be fun. Like if you're doing something at home when you're not on stage, it's not fun.
No.
You're not going to keep doing it, right? So it's got to be something, and it's what you spend your time on this planet doing. So you need to find things that you enjoy doing, right?
So did you get discouraged? Or you did, because I felt like, because you know what, the fun part of that is people, it's your own path, you know, it's your own journey.
Yeah.
Okay? And you always be in a foundation, you know. Football, like you said, it's to make the team.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it's to win the Super Bowl, you know.
Yeah.
But in comedy, though, the only goal is yourself. Like, and the worst enemy is yourself, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, because the guy on stage, who I know, became a monster.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's when you maybe give up about something
and make
you who you are now.
Yeah.
Because it's important. Me, when I saw you the first time, I want to know where. Remember the day when you say fuck off?
Yeah.
Remember?
On stage?
Oui.
When I
want to know that.
I don't give a fuck. That's right.
And everything changed, huh?
And everything
changed. give you another 5 years of opportunity.
Yeah, you got. Then you said this to me too when I came off stage. I remember that night. Was it here?
Yeah,
it was here. Yeah, and I remember coming off stage and you were giggling and laughing like, you know, you discovered something. Yeah,
so what's happened?
And you said you
the monster stay there. Yeah. He get out.
Yeah. You said you look like you don't give a no. You look like you give a fuck, but you. What was it you said? It was so. I mean, you look like you give a fuck, but you don't look like you give a fuck, or something
exactly.
like that.
And that's the line is fine. Mm-hmm. It's very fine between if I'm in the crowd, I can be offended, or no. It's a double. It's a second degree, and it's not everybody can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And now you do that like. Because that was the first time I saw the monster arrive, and I was like, "Oh my God, you create something!" Did you realize that?
Well, I was. I think you did not realize that at the time.
You remember your shoes? The same time you got the beautiful shoes.
The green ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got them in my bag. Yeah.
You say, "Look, my shoes." I said, "No, listen to me.
Green shoes,
I want to tell you something very important. Thing. You did something."
Yeah,
and now if you have the chance to come in at the Yuck Yuck Ottawa Friday night and see
that's
you,
that's crazy in here.
Because now, look,
I love it.
The sky's the limit. Look, you can insult everybody, swear like and everybody
have to take pictures after
everybody. Yeah, and everybody know it's now. Mm-hmm. Now it's a trademark, look.
Mm-hmm.
You say now. Did you see that before we do the podcast? Two people said, "I want to see you." We said, "Yeah, come back at 6, at 4:30, because they want to see Mark and Phil insult them."
Yeah, they want to be insulted. That's
you
right.
Know, shut up.
Yeah. What was it?
Shut up.
Yeah.
Man.
Shut the fuck up.
Where did you find that?
It just happens, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is why I do a podcast. Okay?
Yeah.
Because some people are pissed off because they don't succeed. But it's because that you have to jump.
Mm-hmm.
You have to die.
Mm-hmm.
When you die, something's going to arrive.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're going to start to don't give a shit, you're going to give a shit.
That's
you know what? It's weird because you were like very clean, like not the joke, but you arrive on stage. So yesterday I did that. And after that, the, you know?
Yeah.
After that, fuck you, shut up,
shut up,
and people,
do you saw that,
the evolution, because nobody tell you.
No, but people have mentioned, like, they can't believe I can call someone a whore, and then they end up clapping and taking a picture with me after.
And you signed with on the tits.
So
I told you you're a whore.
Wafik Nazarella one time, I was doing a show with him, and I forget where it was, like an old age home or something, and he goes, I thought this was the one place where you wouldn't be able to call people a whore. And there's like old ladies going, I'm the whore. You know, they want to be called names.
You clean everything
mm-hmm.
before the show. And this is amazing because The tough part is host. Mm-hmm. After that, it's to bring everybody. Are you ready for their show? You know, mm-hmm. you know how many hosts suck, yeah. and you have to fight and see mm-hmm. when the job is. It's to open the laugh.
That's right.
You destroy so hard. Mm-hmm. You're so strong that mm-hmm. now, if you're not too good on stage, you're screwed because mm-hmm. the host is too strong. You're too mm-hmm. strong now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've seen it for sure, and I know it. And I try to do things to accommodate that for sure. I mean, I'm
not. But at the same time, it's not your responsibility. If you're not ready, go mm-hmm. practice. You mm-hmm. know.
That's why these nights are so good, though. I think everybody sort of gets the vibe of the crowd. This place is usually packed full of people, yes. and everyone's having a good time. They're all yeah. realize they can leave their problems at the door, and then I yeah. come on, hit them with some energy and yeah. just, you know, some good jokes, and then the next person feels that too and they ride it too, and yeah. if they do, they do. One key thing is when people come up here, and if they'll, as many people do in a comedy club, make fun of the host just because that's just the way people do it, and then the crowd turns on them, right? Because they've already been charmed.
They love you.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. So that's the one thing that
you find who you are, and imagine 6 years ago, imagine in another 5 years. Mm-hmm. You still enjoy this because, you know, now it's too far for you to give up mm-hmm. in sense of if somebody recognizes you, you're a comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Why you give up? You know, it's too late. You work too hard.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like you're still less happy. Is it or
not happy, I'm not content where I am.
You think you turn around?
Sure,
you think you turn around?
Turn around
like you just do the circle, like you don't feel like
I think I'm moving,
you still
in
progress
upward. Oh yeah, I have okay. to yeah every time I get up, and my girlfriend comes almost every show, and she'll tell me what worked and what didn't work, and we'll usually record it, watch it again the
exactly.
next day.
It's tough,
and
huh?
go over it, write it down.
It's tough to rewatch, huh?
It is
with your girlfriend.
The thing is, I usually like you say, go whatever. She's got it going first thing the next morning, and we're watching. And then once you start watching it, you enjoy it, right? And you remember things. Because so much happens on stage. That's one thing people would always say, oh, you got to write on stage. And I'm like, how do you write on stage? But so much happens on stage.
Yeah.
That's great for later, right? And then
yeah.
often you forget it unless you watch it, and then you write it down, and then you practice it, and then you get ready to use it the next time. And,
yeah.
and that's one thing that's helped me a lot for sure, too, seeing spontaneous on stage, is taking the things that happen spontaneously on stage, writing them down, and making them part of it. And
and repeat that every night like it was the first time.
Yeah, for
this
sure.
This is why mm-hmm. Robin Williams is a genius, because yeah. when you listen, he invented that. No, mm-hmm. It's rhythm. It's everything is right.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He talks so fast, and you feel like it's new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this takes years.
It takes a long time.
So for you, are you happy where you are now and the evolution of your comedy?
Yeah, because I mean, I love coming in here and getting on stage, but I also love not coming in here and sitting at home, like those two things.
Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I'm not a big television watcher.
Because now it's not the muscle, you are in pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's the brain.
Yeah, the brain is in pain for sure, yeah. And I mean, I love coming in here. I love the weeks where there's two or three nights to do comedy. And right now, I'm coming in tonight and having done comedy for like a month because just over Christmas, and I didn't go out looking for any, and I just thought.
So do you feel more stressed today?
No, I'm looking forward to getting on stage today,
okay.
for sure. That's probably why I came in here full of energy and full of, like, you know, ridiculousness, yeah. and you got angry at me, but
I just want to be sure as to mm-hmm. we are on the same line
mm-hmm.
Of discussion, okay, because it would be like you said, on coke, you're like,
If you say I'm stressed or whatever, no, but one thing I learned in football is that, like, physiologically, our body reacts the same to excited and nervous. The only difference is what you tell yourself in your head. So if I was going to go up on stage going, I hope it goes well tonight, or maybe I'll bomb, then I would start feeling nervous. But if I can't wait to be up there and where I can swear and yell
at
people. Do I drink? I drink a lot, yeah.
What do you drink in general? Two pint? Three pint?
I think I'm the best Mark Hatfield on two beers.
One shot?
I like shots, too. I like tequila shots, for sure.
Is it possible to do that with no alcohol?
I do it all the time. If it's a place that
doesn't
have
beer. Okay, exactly. You don't need alcohol.
I don't need it.
But at the same time, tonight, because you play 1 month ago,
mm-hmm.
you're going to give you a chance.
Yeah.
You're going to take beer before.
Yeah. Well, we're also in the business of selling alcohol here, too, right? And if we get up on stage and we're not drinking, then what's going to motivate anyone else to drink? You know, like, that's the real thing. It's a business here. We have to realize that.
I think the business is to make people laugh, not to show to the people we can drink.
Well, our job is to make people laugh, for sure.
Yeah.
But if you get up on stage and you tell someone that you're selling T-shirts and you give away a T-shirt, I tell you, 10 people are going to go buy a t-shirt in the back of the room. If you get up on stage without your t-shirt on, without telling them that you can buy one, no one's going to buy a t-shirt at the back of the room, right? Yeah, so people, you know, we're all animals. We all want to be part of something. Yes. I get up on stage and I'm like, all right, it's Friday. Let's all do it. Have a shot together.
Yeah.
Five people in the crowd are immediately going to go.
People drink water. I want to be part of that. Yeah, I understand. But at the same time, it's not your responsibility to be drunk as
tea. No, not drunk.
Yeah, exactly. But it would be impossible to do that 7 days a week.
Yeah, it is impossible to do that 7 days
a week. You know what I mean? Sure. Because you take so much energy.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is my show. This is once a week. This
exactly.
Is, you know,
one a week's enough.
If I'm going up to do a set in someone else's show.
You don't do that.
I don't do that. No. That's only just for Mark Hatfield's Friday night. Exactly. I want to create a room where people come in, spend money, have a great time, and want to come back and tell their friends.
So now, you know, people respect you in Ottawa. People know who you are, you know. So you have enough, you know, notoriety.
Mm-hmm.
To know who people, they know who you are, and you know who you are. So mm-hmm. What is the next level for you? Look? Because to not stay mm-hmm. at the same place, you know, forever. What mm-hmm. is your what is your next challenge? Because you can do a Tuesday, Wednesday every week if you want,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because mm-hmm. it's open mic.
Yeah.
So this is two shows there.
Mm-hmm.
You can do spot Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Mm-hmm. Plus your show, so it's like seven show a week,
mm-hmm.
20 show a month,
mm-hmm.
300 show a year. Mm-hmm. Imagine the Mark Hatfield Monster. If you could do that, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
If I was your manager, I would say, come on, guys.
Yeah, you're right.
Because we want to go to the top. You want to go mm-hmm. to the top, or you're just happy with where you are now?
No, I want to go to the top. I want to be the greatest at everything I do, for sure. And there's a path for that. And I think sort of what the trajectory here is to take what I do in a hosting capacity and sort of to blend that all into me being on stage for 45 minutes. Because when people leave here and I've been their host and they've seen me do 20, 25 minutes, often they're like, man, I want to see you do 45. I want to see, you know, that kind of thing. And that's what I want to do,
man,
too.
Man, let me know when you're going to headline.
Yeah.
45 minutes. I think you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're scared, too, at the same time.
Probably, yeah,
because
a little bit.
Hosting,
mm-hmm.
it's a responsibility, but it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because you come back four or five times. If mm-hmm. if you don't kill, who care?
Yeah.
You're going to come back. You have mm-hmm. an, you know.
That's right.
But 45 minutes
mm-hmm.
alone,
you're
the last one.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first time I headlined here,
mm-hmm.
summer 2015.
Mm-hmm.
I was shitting in my pants, mm-hmm. man.
Yeah.
You know, because it's 45 minutes. And me and French, so it's another world.
Mm-hmm.
But you, is it a challenge you want to give you this year?
Yeah,
on headline
year, sure.
2020?
Yeah.
Award?
Howard.
Headline this guy.
I believe he'll give me the opportunity.
Yes.
Sure.
He's, you just asked.
Yeah, that's what he's been, probably the most instrumental person in my whole comedy career and a big part of my life for the past 4 or 5 years. For sure. Yeah. And that's important, right?
He loves you.
And he sees that, you know, potential and, the fact that someone's going to work hard and not abuse the position that they're given. And I'm just trying to keep moving in that direction. And I have so much written. Like, I write a lot. And I get into my Friday night, whatever, and I just, you know, it's hard to go into that new bit when, you know what I mean?
Because you have the chance to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, 100%.
I mean, if I was at your place, I will practice all my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's the place to do that.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you, your personage, it's so strong.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter if people don't laugh about your joke, say, shut up! It's a new joke! Shut up!
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You can do everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, I'm scared you get comfortable in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's why I said, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, spot the weekend. You know what I mean? Because, listen, you live in Ottawa. You have me, I would love to be beside here. I will sleep here.
All right, I'm going to
But I'm 2 hours more, of drive, you know, 4 hours. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't have a club in Montreal.
Right. I'm going to Vietnam in 10 days for a month.
You go to Vietnam?
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah.
I thought you were joking.
No, I'm going to go for a month.
I thought you go to Vietnam like the war of comedy in a shitty bar.
Yeah.
I'm going to go in a shitty bar in Vietnam.
I probably will. Probably daily.
Oh, you're going to try to do a show there?
No.
Vacation?
Yeah, just the experience.
Backsack?
Pack sack, yeah.
Wow.
Backpack. A pack of sacks.
Pack with a sack inside.
There's definitely some sacks around, for sure.
Yeah. So why you go there?
Just a life experience, just to learn and travel and get away and see how other people live and to appreciate what we have here.
Yes.
You know, I've done, every time I come back from sort of a trip, I always have a new appreciation for what we have here in this country.
Yes.
One time I was in Honduras. And I can remember I was a part of a Habitat for Humanity building a house, and you never heard anyone yell. You never heard any like negativity. And I can remember seeing little children just happy standing in puddles playing with the rocks.
Yeah.
And I come back and it's like end of November. And
you start to play with rocks.
And I have the greatest rock collection in the world now. And hey. I stand in puddles. No, but you see kids here crying about Christmas presents
And
then you get a real appreciation for what makes you happy and you know, what direction we should be moving in. So
I went to Cuba, okay? And I went to the bathroom and I flushed the toilet like every day, but my shits just do that. Never go.
Yeah.
And every time I flush now, I say, wow.
Oh, our toilets are amazing.
I'm so good. And I'm not sarcastic. I just realized that we have everything and we forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Always do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
crazy. We have so much. We are so rich. But because we compare with other, they have more. The toaster is gold.
Mm-hmm.
My toaster is just two slices. You know, fuck you, man. It's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's opportunities there.
Yeah.
The Canada is the best country in the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hard to argue with that.
So you're gonna go there to remember that.
See other cultures and to get away and just to you know, clear my mind and you know, lots been going on in my life in the past year. And I just need to get away. It's a mental health thing. It's a get to know the person I'm with thing. And
recharge your battery.
Yeah, just to start over. Press the reset button.
Yes, because the way you work you know how I work.
Mm-hmm.
Take me so much energy.
Yeah. Well, I look to others for motivation. I often look to you. And you before a show who, like, I know you're going to get up there and kill. And I've seen you do it so many times. And I know how many shows you do. But no matter what, I see you in the green room going over your notes, writing out things. And that's motivation, because a guy who has already achieved the level you have, and I mean by achieve the ability to talk for 45 minutes and make people laugh and like have to leave the room and then come back and still, you know, die laughing. And here you are going over your notes. And, you know, one time I gave you something I thought of. Remember that? I got raped, and I said, "Say by a clown." And you, like, were nice enough to go up on stage.
And I did it right away.
And then you came off and had the, you know.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you thanks on stage,
no,
but you're right.
No, you came over, like, that kind of thing. Yeah. Taking, you know, advice from everybody and filtering it out and then using it and thinking enough to go thank someone for it and, you know, preparing. And it's funny because at work in the fire department, we have a promotional exam. And I remember thinking, okay, how am I going to study for this? And I remember seeing you at that gig we had in the cottage or whatever, you know, and that thing, and you were on your paper, and that's what I did. I took that paper, and I just sat there, and I worked for like 60 hours, and I got 100% on this promotional exam. And you know, if you put the work in, then it's going to pay off, right?
Exactly, so. Because people want everything around the comedy, but when you arrive inside and you realize that, oh, okay, it's not luck, it's not I'm funny. It's a mix of everything. Mm-hmm. But the work, the first thing you have to know. You have to know your stuff by heart. And people think, I know my stuff by heart. No, by heart, I'm going to tell you what is by heart. You're in a corporate. You do a joke, and you know people don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
So you said, what I'm going to do? I can't continue with the same. So you go there, you do your joke, and you saw all your stuff. I saw all my stuff. I say, you know what? I'm going to go there. So I go there, and I add a new pacing, and I go there.
Yeah.
But I don't have my stuff on stage. Mm-hmm. I know my stuff so hard by heart. Mm-hmm. I can go everywhere. If somebody said something, I said, I can go there. You know what I mean? But this takes time, year, experience. Because so many poser. You know what I mean? What is a poser? Some people pretend they're a comedian, but they're not.
Yep.
You know, like they have a snowboard. Look at that 2000 snowboard.
Mm-hmm.
Do you use it? No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But all my pictures is my snowboard.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are like that.
Yeah, a lot of people want to be something, for
and,
sure.
And I start like that. Like, I'm a comedian, man. And I realized that, and now I know that the only thing is important is to kill on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I don't care about the trophy I win or who I know.
Right.
because a lot of people are like, I did this, I did that. I said, just go on stage, you know, and they bomb. I said, okay. You know?
For sure, yeah. It is the end product, for sure. It's what it's all about.
Be nice. Being up there and making. Be kind with others. Mm-hmm. You know, be grateful the opportunity we have. Mm-hmm. Because we suffer so hard. Now it's time to enjoy our success. Mm-hmm. Because our success is FMI. You know what I mean? You know FMI? It's when you kill. After midnight,
it's finished.
Yeah. It's done. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow,
new day.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean?
That's like when you're traded from one football team to another, you get to that new one. They don't care what you've done. Exactly. Man. They don't care you played with a broken arm.
What draft
they
you are.
Don't care.
You know how many busts draft one? Mm-hmm. They arrive like, I'm draft first. They never saw him again.
Yep.
And this is fun for you because you have so many tools if you have a problem with comedy. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? Yeah, you because comedy is tough because you are alone. The only reason why you progress is because of yourself. Mm-hmm. The only person going to push yourself, it's you. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So when you start to have a little bit of success, you stay there. I will not go back and rebomb to, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's why you saw a lot of middle, just middle. Mm-hmm. Why you don't headline? Mm-hmm. Because I stop. I have a killer 20.
Yeah,
I don't want to do another career because they know the path. You know, it's why. So when I realize that, oh, if my goal is there, I need to bomb again. So it's why I bomb every time. It's more. You know what I mean when I bomb?
Yeah,
it's trying,
you're trying
stuff.
Something else. Yeah,
not good. Not. And it's fun when.
That's the challenge.
When
man.
You when when you wrote an ID. And you kill the first time, it's the best feeling ever. Mm-hmm. More than a corporate standing ovation, more than everything, because I said, why I did not did this joke before? Mm-hmm. It was on my desk for like 1 month, but takes time to digest to all I'm going to tell him that you have to bomb. Mm-hmm. You have to go on stage. You have to cut, you know, and the people are not there anymore. Mm-hmm. It's never the same crowd. Mm-hmm. You will never saw the same people, that, you know. Yep. It's a tough job, man. It's weird how the perception we have and the perception we have when we are on stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a very unique opportunity, profession for sure. And I mean, I love it. I love everything about it.
So what is your goal for 2020?
Oh, I want to headline. I want to do a headline, probably summertime kind of thing. That's what I'm saying. I'm going away for 4 weeks, and that's going to be a lot of time.
Awesome. 4 weeks?
Yeah, so when I come back, then it's going to be like you say.
Oh, I'm sure you're going to wrote something,
yeah? Yeah, definitely, 100%. Everything's funny, for sure.
The green guy there, is it something you
Yeah, that's also out of my control.
Is it something?
I love to do festivals and take whatever it is that I do and make it seem like it's acceptable. Because, you know, like you say, every time you get up there, you're throwing it out there to see if it's still going to work, you know, your character, your delivery, all the stuff that works one night might not work the next. But so you talk about festivals and that kind of thing. Yeah, there are steps to take to get the attention of those people. But as you say as well, it's taking care of the little things. Take care of the little things. What I control is how hard I work on a daily basis. So, you know, every single hour of every day is what I control. So if I go out and I spend 2 hours a day rewriting my jokes, going over my jokes, rehearsing my jokes, and then going at night to a comedy club, then that little things are going to take care of the big things, for sure. But yeah, there are festivals that I'd be interested in doing. And
if we go talk to Mark Hatfield after his first show, okay? We go me and you take Mark Hatfield first show. Remember that you did? We take him on the side. Say, look this.
Yeah.
And we show him who you are now. What do you think he's going to say?
I think that I'd be proud of how comfortable and confident that I am on stage and the fact that I can just say, fuck it, and get up there and not worry if they're going to laugh. But that's really what's going to make people laugh. And I would be... to think I could do that at the beginning would be egotistical, narcissistic, and I don't think I thought that I could, right? So I knew there'd be sort of a progression. Yeah. And it's my point.
It's like... If you don't give up, you're going to be that. Same thing with who you are now. If you don't give up, think about who you're going to be, man.
Yeah, when I used to play football and before, I was hesitant to tell people my goals and my dreams other than my brother and a few other people. So because I was afraid of not achieving them and then people saying, oh, you didn't achieve, you know, make it to the NFL, that sort of stuff. And then I got to a point where in my football life, and I was getting close to the end of my football career, university football career, and it was still, who knows, like I wasn't winning any All-Star awards. And then somebody, not even a significant person in my life, person who had been in my life for a month and probably was only in after this, and he said, like, how far are you going to make it? And I said, I'll be playing for the New York Giants in a couple years. And once I said that and saw the reaction of this person thinking, wow, that's cool. And then the reaction on his face thinking, yeah, that it might be possible that this person I'm talking to is going to make it to the NFL. Then I thought that, wow, that's sort of what gave me more confidence to keep going, to think that, yeah, maybe I can if someone else does. And I remember when I started in comedy, I thought, well, what's the greatest thing anyone could do in comedy? And I remember thinking about Andrew Dice Clay selling out Madison Square Garden for three nights. And I remember telling Ari Black, who is full circle here now, going, tell you what, I'll give you tickets to my sold-out show at Madison Square Garden. And he laughed or whatever. And so now that's exactly what's going to happen.
You still believe in that?
Yeah, of course. Why not, man?
Exactly.
Is that the biggest dream?
So this is your biggest dream, Madison Square Garden, New York?
Is it still not there?
Not Ottawa, though.
It's still there, yeah. But four nights, not three. Yeah. Little
boy blue. No, I mean, why you don't do it here? And at that one?
That's on the way there, because for sure.
It's your fan base is there.
Well, you got to make your fan base everywhere, right? You got to take this little microcosm.
Listen to that. New York, Madison Square Garden, four nights, sold out show. Mm-hmm. This is the ultimate goal. Mm-hmm. Wow, it's great, man. Yeah. It's a big goal.
You can open for me.
Whoa. Hey, I will remember that, man.
Yeah, right.
With pleasure, I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
Well, I say, are you not joking? I'm going to be there.
Yeah, you're going to be there. Ashley will be there too. I don't know Mitch, but...
Ashley. So, man, thank you so much for your generosity, man, because when you start your podcast, I was jealous, you know, in a good sense.
Okay.
Because it's not easy to talk to start a podcast, you know. I call you. I said, "What did you buy? How did you do that?" And I said, "Oh, it's too complicated," and I choke.
It is complicated.
You know what I mean? Why you stop or why you take a big break?
My wife left me for a woman and kicked me out of my house where I did the podcast. And I spent most of my days crying and wondering how I'm going to live in the back of my truck on a long-term basis.
Okay, this is the reason?
That's the reason, yeah.
Did you talk that on the stage?
No, but I have a fucking killer 10 minutes on it. I'm afraid I just start crying too much. But I'm pretty emotional about that. So yeah, I've yet to talk about that on stage, but
enough to the world.
I just meant
to the world.
Three senses to the world. Your iPhone. Yeah.
So you're gonna restart your podcast soon?
Yeah, I think so, because I really love it. I really love talking to people.
You're amazing, by the way.
Thanks.
And you're better host than.
Guest.
You're fucking tough, man.
Well, we're going to redo this. It's going to be the third time. But that's fine. Yeah, no, and I love it. And I love everything about it. I've just recently started listening to them again, and I really love them. I love the person I became by listening to people's stories and the obstacles that they've overcome and how they set goals and just the story of their lives and where they're at and just hearing about people if you're interested in a person, it's amazing. You can call them up, and they'll come over to your house and tell you everything.
Exactly.
Like, it's an amazing tool. Yeah. And if you're at the gym, you listen to a podcast, traveling, you put a podcast on, a five-hour trip goes by like that. So, it's an amazing tool to use. And, this is great what you're doing here, too. And I love it. And, I'll start it up again when I get back from
that. Well, you go find yourself again. Yep. Tonight we have a great show.
Yeah, great show.
You're gonna kill Bobby. We're gonna drink beer. I love you, man. I wish you a 2020 amazing.
Okay.
Don't give up.
Never.
Continue to focus because you're amazing. You belong in comedy and you're a great example for everybody. Okay.
Thank you very much.
I love you. Let's go.
Let's before do people it. Arrive. Let's do it. People are getting here.
Yes.
The fans.
Yes, your fans, Bobby. Yeah. Shut up. Shut up.